You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, I will be speaking with Sam Yule, a personal historian and owner of The Cheerful Word. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about communication and caregiving, which I think is a wonderful topic, and how we can use some of the communication tools that are out there to help us in our caregiving role. But what Sam brought with her today were some of the top 10 things that people probably don't know about her topic, and they should, and I thought I'd highlight a couple of them. The first I think is so true is that most caregivers wouldn't think they actually have an important role and title in our times. What do you mean by that?
Well, people don't often see themselves as caregivers. Mm-hmm. I think they assume that they're just a son or a daughter or a spouse, mm-hmm. and they just are doing what's morally required. They just feel like, oh, this is what I do. I take care of someone when they're sick or when they're ill or mm-hmm. when they need my help. And people don't often assume that they have a specific role to play.
Sure. And in our times, what did you mean by that? I thought that was an interesting way of putting it.
Well, I think people have this myth, this idea of back in the day mm-hmm. that people always cared for one another mm-hmm. and that families all lived together, which is not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. Another top 10 that you brought with you today that I thought was interesting and definitely needs to be noted is that not everyone is cut out to be a primary caregiver. Serve your parent in a way that honors your talents and his or her own needs. Talk to your family about the role that you'd like to take as a care provider.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely mm-hmm. true. I found this true in my own family where it sort of came naturally to me to be more of a hands-on caregiver. Mm-hmm. I was a home health aide. Okay. I worked with the elderly as a volunteer mm-hmm. for many, many years. And my sister was very organized. Uh-huh. She did a lot of the administration work. So sure. she made a lot of the phone calls, and mm-hmm. and she was able to be a caregiver from a distance.
Sure.
And that was very helpful because she kept in the loop. And my brother took care of all the finances, and that was just something that he did well. So we all had our own roles to play.
Definitely.
And it worked out very well that we identified those things, and we sort of stayed within our roles, and we weren't stepping on each other's toes.
That's wonderful. That's a great way to look at it. So, when did you first identify yourself as a caregiver? I think I like the word identify. When did you recognize that you were a caregiver?
Well, when I first started working with Dr. Amy Dupree, mm-hmm. she's a life transition specialist mm-hmm. up in Canada, and I was a medical editor and met her, and she said she defined caregiving. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So I did some writing for her, and it was such a broad view of caregiving. Mm-hmm. And I identified myself as one after that, as soon as my father died mm-hmm. 17 years ago. So I thought, wow, you know, there's a gap to fill. There's a need there.
Sure.
And it wasn't necessarily hands-on caregiving at that time. Mm-hmm. It was just to be a companion.
And caregiving could be as simple as even just helping mom make her doctor's appointment. Sometimes it just starts with something small like that.
Exactly.
And it's important, I think, to realize that role you're playing. Great. So how long did your personal caregiving journey last?
17 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, from the day Dad died, really, until Mom died. So mm-hmm. it progressed mm-hmm. as time went on.
Mm-hmm. And what sorts of stages did you go through during the caring of your mother?
There were five primary stages. Okay. The first one being just companionship, mostly. Mm-hmm. We went out and got a couple of Boston Terriers, which was uh-huh. my father's favorite dog.
Sure.
And she came over and gardened. And we just spent time together. She just really needed friendship and mm-hmm. companionship at that time. And the second stage was sort of her move manager. Mm-hmm. She started sure. moving more than most college students do. So uh-huh. it was kind of interesting to watch her move from Carrboro to Raleigh to Cary to
sure.
Durham. And
sure.
and I thought, okay, this is what she wants to do. I'll support her in this.
Yeah.
And the third stage turned out to be healthcare advocate. that became much more demanding when she had a heart attack, mm-hmm. and they also discovered at the same time that she had what they thought was lung cancer. Mm-hmm. It was a misdiagnosis. She just had pneumonia, but had told her she had 3 months to live.
Oh, no.
So in an emergency, we moved her into our home, and she stayed on the first floor. We adapted our first floor to make it easy for her to live the final 3 months of her life, and then she got better.
Oh, well, that was a good thing.
Yes. Oh. So she continued to stay with us, mm-hmm. and moved up with my sister, and then moved back to town. But in the meantime, the fourth stage of caregiving, I became her personal historian. By the mm-hmm. time she actually did decline and mm-hmm. end up in hospice down here in Crowsdale, I just wanted to find out more about her as a person. Mm-hmm. I do it professionally and had never asked my own mother.
Sure.
So I got about 40 hours of interview time and video, and I developed some books for her that she was able to share with the nurses and the staff. So she wasn't just this hospice patient. She was a real person.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And then the fifth stage, the final one, was I was able to be just her daughter, mm-hmm. which was really, really enjoyable. Once hospice really took mm-hmm. over, we just spent time together.
Great. Sounds like a very healthy progression in your caregiving journey, for mm-hmm. sure. So when did you realize that you were in need of more community interaction as a caregiver? I mean, did this at some point during your journey sort of take over, as it takes over most people's lives? You haven't looked in the mirror in days, and then you see your hair sticking out in every direction. I mean, I had those moments.
Yes. Between my family and a dear friend of mine, mm-hmm. Lonnie, who said, "You have got to get out of mm-hmm. the house." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for months, she begged me to come out to a networking meeting, and I finally did so. But it wasn't until after the prodding of, people who love me, who mm-hmm. said, "You really need to get out. You're just mm-hmm. not yourself, and mm-hmm. you're getting sicker yourself. So, don't do that. You can't give unless you're well."
That's right. You have to refill yourself before you can give to others.
Yeah.
I mean, just not even talking about the caregiving world, but I recently had a personal move, and I literally had taken 10 days off of work, and I was in that house and just did nothing but organize. And then when I stepped out of that house for the first time, I thought, "Well, this is very strange." I didn't even know how to function for like the first couple of hours. Like, I'm not in this house. I'm not unpacking. I'm not looking at boxes or children. How do I even reacclimate after 10 days of being in the trenches, let alone? It's a lot. And I just remember that caregiving journey where, months and months went by. I cared for my grandfather. And then all of a sudden when that was done, it was sort of like, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? How do I fill all that empty time? So it's a very, very interesting. We are going to take a quick break. I am here today with Sam Yule, a personal historian and owner of The Cheerful Word on WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL. Supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Sam Yule, a personal historian and owner of The Cheerful Word on WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. And we're here talking about communication and caregiving. And Sam was a personal caregiver to her mother. And we are going to talk a little bit now about how communication is so important and hopefully would decrease isolation for caregivers during that caregiving journey. So, Sam, I know that you have a presence on Facebook. So how did you start using Facebook as your primary communication tool to your circle of friends during that time of your journey?
Well, because Mom was sick for so many mm-hmm. years and for so long, you get really tired of people asking, mm-hmm. "How's your mom? How are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And you keep answering the same questions over and over. And it really gets exhausting, just mentally and emotionally, mm-hmm. almost more than physically. And I know they all mean well.
Right.
Everyone just wants to extend some love and some time. And know what they can do. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to isolate myself a little bit. I'm going to go in my cave, mm-hmm. and I'm going to choose to communicate outwardly because mm-hmm. it's what I do as a writer, as a journalist. I feel most comfortable communicating to people.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I just said, I'm just going to use Facebook. And mm-hmm. because I was in that quiet time, especially in hospice, from 6 a.m. till noon, Mom was often asleep for the first hour or so that I was there.
Sure.
So I just got out my little phone and I went on Facebook and I started posting mm-hmm. just positive things, mm-hmm. Funny things.
Mm-hmm.
People like to respond. They don't like to read depressing things.
They know
Mom is dying. Everybody knows Mom's dying. But I like to share the funny things that happened mm-hmm. During hospice because there really are – humorous parts
of death.
There is a silver lining to everything.
Yeah.
And I tried to focus on those and try to reach out to anybody else who might be a caregiver in my circle of friends on Facebook.
Can you remember anything funny to share with us?
Oh, yes. This is the one that gave me the idea. I started naming them hospice tips of the day. And the first one was, I thought, okay, I'm going to stay overnight with mom, and I'm going to take a shower in the morning. So I got up quietly, and I got in, took a shower, and I did not notice that I had flung my towel over the towel rack where the nurse's call string is. And within seconds, there were about four nurses running, screaming into the bathroom, throwing open the shower curtain.
Oh, no.
I'm standing there, soaking wet, naked, wondering what's going on.
Oh, no.
So if you ever stay overnight, make sure you know where you're putting your towel so the nurses don't come in to try to rescue you from your own shower.
Oh, no. You got up close and personal with those nurses, I see.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Dear. More so than you'd ever hoped. So these hospice tips of the day, for example, that you came out with, how do people respond to these posts?
Very positively. The more I put out there, the more I think people saw that you really can live through caregiving. It's not a terrible thing, and it's something that you can look forward to and that you can see through different eyes. I'm sort of a Pollyanna. I'm an optimist by nature, and and I really like to help people see that, you know, if this is something that you can do, if this is a role you can play, this is how you can survive.
Make the best of it.
Make the best of it.
Definitely. So you also kept a journal at one point, you've told me. And how did this more personal type of writing help you as a caregiver?
That is where I just let it rip.
The true blue feeling.
Oh, yes. This is where all the emotions and all the tears and all the grief and the anger and the guilt feel. Because, you know, you really feel stuck. Like there is just nobody else that can do this. And there are days that you just don't want to. And you feel really guilty. I felt really guilty.
And it's all
saying,
normal.
I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, I can't take this
anymore. You have
anymore.
These hate moments, and those are all natural,
you do.
Too.
You do. And my mother, having been a nurse in a nursing home for 26 years, recognized. She said, honey, I'm going to give you a little break. I think I'm going to move in with your sister for a little while and then come back, and, which was great because that helped me heal.
Good people, but constantly asking, how is it going? What's going on? How can I help? Just getting the word out there. And then a personal form of communication, such as the personal journaling. So those are two forms. Any other ways that you think caregivers could communicate to help them in their caregiving journey?
Yes, I think that just being out in the public, if you can just get out, and even if you don't intend to socialize with friends, I mean, going and seeing a funny movie is always good.
Sure.
But my sister and I developed a really marvelous thing as we switched shifts at noon. We would meet down at James Joyce in downtown Durham near Mom. And we would have lunch, and we would each have a pint of Guinness, mine on my way out, hers on her way in, and we would talk to people. We would just sit, and, you know, people at James Joyce are just really outgoing by nature. So we just chatted a lot, and a lot of people we discovered were going through the same things. Yes. A lot of people were visiting people in hospitals and in our same positions. So it was nice to just get out and relax for a while. Even with perfect strangers, it was I found it very necessary, very therapeutic.
Definitely. Great. So what shifted your thinking or experience to start naming your posts, such as a hospice tip of the day or good grief?
I wanted to start to teach people that hospice really is a wonderful thing and that you can look at it from a different perspective. You can look at your caregiving journey and you can thrive from it and not just survive it. And, you know, things like listening to the dreams of your loved one is really important to me because my mother had lots of interesting spiritual experiences. And I was there to witness that. And it was really marvelous to be able to just tell people, you know, listen to the dreams of your loved one. Be there and just be non-judgmental and just be with them as they go through their own grieving times. And then the good grief tips of the day were after she passed.
Sure.
Was how I was going through my grieving and how some of the interesting things and funny things that also happen when you're trying to plan a memorial and things don't quite go the way you assume they will.
They never do. Nothing ever. It's like a wedding. Always something goes wrong.
So, for sure.
So did you connect with people in other ways, especially during your time during hospice?
Yes. It was... one was going to lunch.
Right.
Another one was saying yes to people, I think. When they ask, can I help you? Always say yes, even if you don't know
how
they can help me at the time. And it was often just, you know, bringing a cup of coffee or just knowing that they were there to talk to, especially later after Mom passed. That's when I really took advantage of hanging out with my friends. I was able to decompress, actually, for many months afterwards. And that was there was really, really helpful.
Over the 17-year caregiving journey, I'm sure it took many months.
Yes.
To kind of reorganize and reacclimate yourself. Well, we are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Sam Yule talking about communication and caregiving on WCHL, and I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL. Supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. And today I'm speaking with Sam Yule, a personal historian and owner of Future on WCHL. And we are talking about communication and caregiving. So in the last few minutes we have here before the show ends, I know that you brought with you some great resources that you wanted to share more information about as far as helping caregivers communicate. And one thing that you brought with you was a book called From Surviving to Thriving. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes. That was written by Dr. Amy Dupree, the life transition specialist I mentioned earlier. And she is really an expert at helping caregivers going from feeling really isolated, feeling really depressed, feeling like they're completely overwhelmed into transforming this journey. In fact, that's the subtitle of the book, is Transforming Your Caregiving Journey. And she does a great job with these little vignettes that caregivers can read. It's almost one of those you leave in the bathroom and you just pick it up as you need it. And she's got all kinds of like 2 or 3 page stories that can help you with your caregiving journey. So I highly recommend that.
Wonderful. And then a website, guidinglightsnc.org.
Yes, obviously, Guiding Lights is just a wonderful resource for caregivers in the Triangle. I send lots of people down there who I know because in my line of work, I run into lots of seniors. And over time, they end up needing care. And I'm friends with their sons and daughters. And I often send them to Guiding Lights for assistance and guidance on how to get the appropriate care they need.
Wonderful. And of course, obviously, Facebook.
Yes, Facebook is always my favorite. It's just a great place to go and communicate to people, you know, what you're doing and what you're feeling and letting them support you through that as a caregiver.
And how about you also have here joining an online community?
Yes, one thing I found as a caregiver was there are many local caregiving groups that you can join, except I found I could never get out of the house at the right time and right day to anticipate it. And I did find some online caregiving communities that were just marvelous, like caring.com. And you can talk to caregivers. I mean, in the middle of the night when you finally have some moments to yourself sometimes, you can go on there and share stories with one another and encourage one another and give each other helpful hints.
I think the Alzheimer's Association has an online bulletin board 4 o'clock in the morning. And I know the nice thing about that website, there's an MSW, Master's Level Social Worker, that sort of monitors it 24/7 so that if somebody's clearly in distress, they can reach out and try to help.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
And then in person, you have cheerfulword.com.
Yes, yes. The Cheerful Word is my company, and I really do help people come into connection with their care recipients, their loved ones. Caregivers often find that their communication is changing with their parent or their spouse over time. And sometimes just getting together and finding out what their life stories are can help close that gap.
Sure.
And it just provides a wonderful avenue to sit in person and talk about how you're feeling and what your journey has been like.
It's amazing. So Thank you so much for joining us today. I think you provided some great tips for caregivers to find a way to communicate their caregiving journey to each other, to their loved ones. I think that's a wonderfully positive way to look at caregiving. So I'm so glad that you're able to join us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Nicole Bruno of Caring Connections on WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thanks so much and have a wonderful day.